Maybe prayer is the hedge. That's a good point. But talking, going back to Satan being able to physically touch somebody, even with Job, he wasn't allowed to kill Job, was he? Now, people are killed all the time for the sake of the gospel, right? Or throughout history. So if that's the case, then Satan can't directly do that. How does that happen? Satan uses unbelievers. In this case, with what's going on in this time frame, governments, world leaders. All right, those are his tools. Those are his instruments for that. And doesn't that seem to fit with what we've been talking about this whole quarter? And that's what Satan uses. Going into chapter 12, where has Satan been up to this point? Where? Heaven. In that realm, right? Heaven being the spiritual realm. And so he's been there, and in what sense has Satan had supreme power over the earth and over mankind? Yeah. Did his power kind of changed after this battle scene and he was cast from heaven? Yeah. Didn't Satan really seem to have power over all mankind? Even those that were faithful to God and believed in God, he had power over them. And how? Sin came into the world, right? And so, what did sin do between us and God? Separated us, right? So, up until there was something that could restore us to God, who really had dominion over us? Because of that sin. Satan did. All right, but once the blood of the Lamb was spilled, right? What did that do to Satan's power? Limited him even more, right? So he's cast forth, and we'll get into that. And he deals in the earthly realm now. What was he before he was cast forth? There was a name he was called by in chapter 12. Accuser. I get this picture that he was always there. He was where God is, always accusing mankind. And he had something to accuse them about, right? He's always stirring up trouble in heaven. Like, he was a thorn in God's side in that sense. And there was this battle that cast him out, and he wasn't able to do that anymore. He can't accuse. Can he accuse man now? Only those that what? Right. Only those by their own will that follow him, right? So, anyway, we'll kind of get into all that. Any other comments before we kind of get into chapter 12? Did all that make sense? That's kind of giving you some cobwebs out of my brain. All right. So we get into Revelation 12, and we've only got the one chapter today, which actually we're a week behind because I've got us behind. We're actually supposed to be in 13 and 14, but we're just going to keep cruising the way we're cruising. And I'd like to thank Sean for teaching last week. I really appreciate that. All right. Revelation 12, verse 1. And a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Okay. So, let's pick this one apart real quick. So, who do some, probably most, like to say that this woman is? Yeah. On the surface, it's easy to say, okay, that's Mary. And then as we get into it, the seeds Jesus. Is this Mary? No. We can see...
For sure,
she would be an example. So, if it's it can't be Mary, because we see in chapter 12, verses 13 and 17, in the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. I'm sorry, I better get in 12. 13 says, and when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. How do we know from those verses that this is not Mary? Right. Yeah. He didn't just come to, Satan didn't just come to persecute Mary, who physically gave birth to Jesus. The seed that was promised back in the Old Testament, what all did that involve? That came through a lot of people's lineage, right? Not just Mary, right? To get us to that point. So we can't say that woman there is Mary. We'll get further into that. Said she was arrayed with the sun and the moon under her feet. All right, what's the symbolism there? What is the sun in relationship, on the simplest form, what is the sun in relationship to the moon? Yeah, you got a greater light in the sun and lesser light in the moon, right? So she was arrayed with the sun. And the moon was under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Have we seen the 12 stars before? Seen the number 12 before? And what's the significance of that?
Perfection.
Yeah. Perfection. That's what we've discussed that before in other chapters of Revelation. Absolutely. And that's what we're going to let. And I'm glad you brought that out. We're going to get into all that, but let's keep that in mind as we go forward. Because we talked about persecution as Christians, the church, because the church is the threat, right? So persecution is going to be coming through Satan and persecuting the church. Why does he now have to come persecute the church? Because he was cast out of heaven. Operating in the earthly realm now, and that's the threat. That's who he's got to go after. He can't go after Jesus anymore, right? He didn't have that power. Yes, sir.
That is really his opposition. My that is, he is and will be his real opposition.
Yeah. How long is that opposition going to be? How long does Satan know that's going to last? Says after he's cast out, he goes after the seed, but he knows it's only for a short amount of time, right? So that seems to indicate he's going to do all the damage that he can do, because he knows now his time is limited. He's already been cast out of heaven, and he's going to go to that place of eternal hell when? After the judgment. So now he's in that time frame between when he was cast out and that judgment. So it's a time frame. He operates now under time. Right? Would it safe to say that before that he didn't operate within time as we see it on earth? I mean, I think he operates on the same time as we have it now, right? Because there's an end to it. Right? Am I wrong on that? Yeah, he didn't know either. Right, that's an excellent point. He doesn't know, but he knows it's coming. It's going to go hard until that time, right? Whenever that is. But there is an end to it. All right, and she was with child, this woman, and she cries out, travailing in birth and in pain to be delivered. All right, so who is it that's going to be delivered? Is this talking about Jesus? Or can we be dogmatic about it not being Jesus? Or are we talking about the church? The seed, the faithful. Well, if it's Jesus, wouldn't it also, in a sense, apply to Jesus's seed, his body? So, if somebody wants to apply that to Jesus, is that okay? Under the caveat of what? If you read all of chapter 12, doesn't it seem to have to apply to his body as well? No, but under Jesus' authority, what authority does the church have? I mean, in a sense, the church or the body, it's the kingdom, right?
If we were called, we would have given that same privilege.
Right. Right. How do we rule now, in a sense? Yes. We have the truth. What does the truth do? He says that's free, but what does it do to the rest of the world? It condemns, right? It condemns. It convicts. Okay? Alright, in verse 3, and there was seen another sign in heaven, and behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his head 7 diadems. Alright. Who is this? This is Satan, right? This is Satan. And from this one verse, what do we know about Satan, the great fiery red dragon? Has he got some authority? He's got some indicated by what? 7 diadems. All right. Does he have weaponry? Offensive weaponry? Horns, right? Horns on an animal are used for what? Yeah, they're used for fighting. They're an offensive weapon. Okay? Yeah, he does have some power. It's limited power, but he does have some power. Alright, so we just know from this verse, fiery red dragon, all that's Satan. All right, if we could read further in chapter 12, we know exactly that that's Satan, right? As indicated by verse what? Verse 9. And verse 9 says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. All right, so we know that this is Satan. We don't have to speculate at all on this one, that's who that is. So it's Satan. He's great. We know in this... this speech here that's talking about him, that he covers a lot of area, right? He's got a tail long enough to do what? Knock some stars out of the sky, right? He's formidable. He's got some power, and he's got some offensive weaponry. Okay, so he's a formidable opponent to the woman here. And then, of course, the one that is birthed from the woman. We talked about, Sean talked about, last week I talked about how the church was growing and how it was becoming large. It started where? Where did the church start? In what city? Jerusalem. And then persecution, which no doubt Satan hoped would do what? End it all, just stop it right there and be done with it, right? Actually, had the adverse effect because it spread. All right, as people left Jerusalem to escape the persecution, they took the gospel with them, and so it started to spread. So Satan and God both used Rome and Jerusalem to kind of try to serve their purpose, right? But whose purpose is greater? God's. Okay, so he tried to end it all with one fell swoop there, and that failed, and so he just gave up, right? No. He, at that point, then, okay, well, I got to keep going after the church, right? I got to keep making it as rough as possible. I need people to leave that church. I need people to fall away from what they committed to. Hear me? Yeah. As Megan said, he's going to go hard until the end of time. He's not quitting. He's not giving up. If he's not quitting and giving up, what's that tell us that are on the opposite side of it? How many times can you take a break? You can't ever take a break. You can't ever take that time to kind of catch your breath, right? Because he's coming hard. Now, if you do take a break, in my opinion, he's not going to come quite as hard after you. Right? When's he going to come the hardest after you? Yeah, when you're going strong. He doesn't need you going strong. Yeah, when you're the threat. When you're the threat. Yeah. And he's not fleeing us because of our own power. Somebody else. I didn't leave anybody out. Yeah. 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 This is his realm. Right. And we don't need to take that lightly. I mean, that's not something that we need to gloss over. Okay? Good point. All right. So verse 4, his tail, we talked about how big he was, and his tail draws a third part, and we talked about third part of things today. Yeah, he hadn't been cast out yet, right? At that point. Yeah. Point. All right. So we've talked about the third part before. His tail draws the third part of the stars of heaven to cast into the earth, and the dragon stands before the woman that is about to be delivered, that when she is delivered, he may devour her child. All right, so we've talked about third part before, just meaning what?
Not all.
Not all. Okay? It's limited, again, limited power. And then stars of heaven that were cast down. We talked about that before, too, is indicative of what? World powers. Typically, we talk about stars being cast down, world powers, which we already talked about are his tools, right? Tools he has in his tool belt to do what, to accomplish his purpose. All right? Because of his limited power, he needs assistance. Safe to say? He has to have assistance. All right? So he's there. He's standing by. He's standing, it seems right, you know, in front of the woman, waiting right there to be able to devour this child that she delivers at the moment that she delivers it. And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. So immediately, before he could devour the child, what happens to the child? He's protected. All right? Immediately. All right, so the immediate thought is that the son of Jesus, and he ascended to the throne of God. But is this not an allegory? God having accomplished this once is now being used to illustrate some things that are shortly to come to pass. If we're operating on that shortly come to pass idea that started the whole book out, do we shift from that now, or do we keep that train of thought? Does anything seem to indicate that we've shifted away from the shortly come to pass? I didn't pick up on anything that was. So let's think of it maybe this way. As the church, the people that are undergoing the persecution, as they're set forth before the henchmen of Satan. Okay? And then we talked about how, in a sense, the church rules in a sense that, you know, we have the truth. We have that convicting power. We have power that are given to us by our King, who is who? Jesus, right? I don't think we need to argue with anybody that wants to assign this figure as Jesus, as long as it's viewed as an allegory of the protection that God will give the rest of the seed of this woman, who is the church, us, right? And then directly who it's written to here in this sense, the church then, okay? Carrie and I were talking about how maybe in a sense, code written to these people at this time. It would make sense in the time of war, codes used. You know, you don't want somebody to have that information. But did these people understand exactly what he's talking about? I mean, they're going through it, right? They could easily go, hey, that's us, right? Let's keep that in mind. We can make application, but they understood. It's written directly to them. They're going through it. They can see themselves in this. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. All right, we need to get caught up in those numbers. What do we need to know about that? It's a period of time. Okay? It's a period of time. Was there a time, if you think about secular history, if you look into that, was there a time that the church had to go into hiding? Yeah, really around this time in a sense it still does. But they lived in caves. If you look at that, when Jerusalem was, when they were having to escape Jerusalem, and Rome was besieging that, and the Jewish Roman war was going on, they had to escape. They literally had to do that. Okay, and where were those caves? In the wilderness. Okay, so if you want to apply that, like literally, then that they literally had to do that. Okay? So they did have to flee. They were protected in that sense. God protected them when all that was going on. And he protected them because why? Why does he protect us? We're his people, right? We're his body. We're the truth. He does. It's got to continue on. How does the word continue on? By us. That's our job, right? We teach that. If it's not for us, how's it going to continue? Not that God couldn't find another way, but what is God's way? Yeah, the church. Preaching his word. Verse 7, and there was war. All right, so then we shift to seeing behind the curtain here. Okay? There's this war going on in heaven. Michael. Who's Michael? We've heard Michael before. He's your regular run-of-the-mill angel. He's an archangel, right? Who was another archangel? Gabriel. We don't see him here. And really, if you look at all that, it seems maybe that Satan was at one time. He's at least, I would say, safe to say, kind of on their level, or was on their level. He'd beat them, but. He's powerful on that sense because he's fighting with them. It took them to fight him. Yeah. That's his job. That's the go-to. He's the go-to. But there's this war going on. Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon, Satan, and who else? His followers, right? His angels. So we're seeing that scene going on behind the curtain in heaven, simultaneously to what they're going through on the church is going through physically in this realm. And they, Satan and his angels, prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. All right. So he didn't have a place in heaven anymore. So what happened to him? Verse 9. The dragon was cast down. The old serpent, he that's called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world, he was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him. All right, so now he's cast into the earth. He's operating here now. And now his time, as we've talked about, is what? It's limited. All right? Verse 10, and I heard a great voice in heaven saying, now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuses them before our God day and night. Can Satan now accuse those washed by the blood of the Lamb that we see in verse 11 before God anymore? Waste of breath. He can't do it. Now, well, he is the father of lies, so he can lie about it, right? But God knows those that are his, right? So it's a waste of breath. He can't accuse the faithful, those washed by the blood, anymore before God. So, verse 11, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto death. So they overcame him by what things? Obviously, the blood of the Lamb. We know what that is, right? When did that happen? At the cross. All right, what else did they overcome him by? The Word. All right? And they didn't love their life even unto death. What's that mean? Right. 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 When we come, when we're washed by the blood of the Lamb, when we have the truth, should we fear for our lives anymore at that point? Should that even be a thought? No. Because we're to fear who that can affect our eternity over who can affect just our earthly life here, our temporal life. Okay? That's what we're more concerned with at this point. So, because of that, verse 12, therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Okay, so there's great rejoicing over that. That now Satan's been defeated. He can't accuse us anymore if we're washed by the Lamb. So he has no dominion over us anymore just because of sin. Okay, which he did up until the point of the cross. So there's great rejoicing should come from that. That's what you would expect in verse 12, right? That's the next thing, is great rejoicing. All right, woe for the earth and for the sea, because the devil is gone down into you, having great wrath, knowing that he hath but a short time. Okay, so why now is this woe? And this is probably the third woe. It's not indicated as such, but we knew this third woe was coming, right? So why is there a woe on the earth and the sea? I mean, we just saw that the devil was defeated. He was cast down. He can fight down here. Yeah, he can still fight. Okay, so you need that. You need to understand that. That just because all that happened doesn't mean he's still not going to be an influence. Dave?
His power is in deception. So when we see people lying,
yeah, he's the father of lies. He was the father of accusing. Now the father of deceiving. Right. That's the only tool he's got now. Really. I mean, he's got help, and he's got, but really, it's all based on lies, right? Well, it seems to work. It works for the. Yes. Did everybody hear the simpleness of sin? Deceitfulness of it. I mean, sin is what to most of mankind. Yeah, that's live our lives the way we want to live it, and nobody can tell us what to do. But yet, when you have that idea, isn't really somebody telling you what to do? Satan. Satan. All right? Jeremy?
Yeah, I think it all comes back to basics of pride. So many of them have so much pride.
That's the root of it. Yeah. And when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. Sorry. This fits the reality if we see the woman representing God's spiritual kingdom, right? Which on earth would be the church. That's who he's going after now. He still wants to end Christianity and still do what he can to defeat Christ, right? To defeat the church. And there were given to the woman two wings of the great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness and to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Again, just some period of time there that she would be protected and be able to escape this. Then verse 15, and the serpent cast out of his mouth after the woman water as a river that he might cause her to be carried away by a stream. All right, what's the idea behind this flood? Water of a river. Is there a more destructive force physically than water? No, you see water at work. There's no stopping it, right? Yeah. Yeah. There's no escaping from it. No, it's a powerful force. So he's just going to let it all out to go after this woman or go after the church. But, verse 16, the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the river which the dragon cast out of his mouth. So again, more protection given by who, no doubt? God. And the dragon waxed wroth with the woman and went away to make war with the rest of her seed that keep the commandments of God. Again, that threat. He's going to go after those that are keeping the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. All right, we've got like a couple of minutes left. Any further thoughts, comments?
I love that last verse. Satan just, he's mad because he knows it's false. And so he's just taking it out on us that are here that he can try to implement. And that's how he tries to take it on God, is by taking, trying to take us away. And with that, if he knows that, like, we know who we need.
Yeah. Yeah, because the victory is already, it's a done deal. There is a winning team. But Satan knows that we have the will, our own free will, to pick whatever side we want to be on. Right?
So.
Not real good. Not when that other team is playing all four quarters. But we talked about it. Can't take a break. Already done. Already, he knows that, right? So he wants to. So if we follow him, what are we? We're rebellious too, right? Yeah. A good point. Or anything else? All right. Thank y'all for your comments. I really appreciate it.